You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yes, hello, welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Friday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:10pm with Luke Elder, Paddy Aspel and Ollie Pimlott in the studio. A real good Friday to look forward to as well. It's day one of the Racing Post Trophy meeting at Doncaster. It's also day one of a two-day meeting at Newbury, the first meeting of the season at Cheltenham for day one of the showcase meeting, and the usual Friday evening fare from Wolverhampton and Dundalk as well. So plenty to get stuck into. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is Mr. Chris Pimlott. How are you, Pimmy?
Very good afternoon to you, Mark. Great to be back in Studio 57. And I see the booster seat's gone back.
Yeah.
Yeah, you remember that little booster seat that we had for Sebby Tummy? Yeah, it's gone. Just sent it back.
Yeah, we only bring it in when Seb's around.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder if he's taking it to Bahrain with him.
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe sit, put it on the plane, you know, so you can see a bit further ahead.
Yeah.
Interesting stuff. But this chair's far more comfortable without it.
Yeah.
Lovely.
I'm guessing you worked with Seb then last week.
Sebby Tubby.
Yeah. He's got some stories, hasn't he?
Seb? He has got some stories, yeah. And he's got some tummy on him too. I'm telling you. I don't know how he's going to get on the horse, never mind ride it.
Well, I can't really comment, so...
Yeah, but you're not a jockey, you're a weightlifter.
I'm a weightlifter, yeah.
You know what I mean? There is a difference. Yeah.
Good racing coming up, Pimmy, in both codes as well. Final group one of the season on the flat. We've got good racing at Newbury alongside that. We've got first at Cheltenham of the season, first meeting at Cheltenham, and then we've got a good meeting at Aintree on Sunday.
Yeah,
as well.
it's the old Roan Chase.
Yeah, real good time here.
Fantastic. Everything's just starting to go now. Obviously, you know, the flat's just going on to the back burner. I don't know when the end of the season is for the flat. Does anybody know when it is? I don't know either. But yeah, it seems to be coming
hasn't it
to
finished?
The end.
The jockey title's finished, hasn't it?
That's all over.
Is that the season finished?
I don't know, but I'm not sure whether it counts or not either. It's a bit of a confusing one, that Jockeys' Championship. Yeah, but anyway, knows. I believe Jim Crowley won it.
He did.
So that was all good. Yeah. All happy days, yeah. So yeah, the embers are just starting to glow a little bit on the flat season, and the flames are just starting to rise on the jumps. And I certainly know one or two of our commentators now will be getting giddy with the first meeting at Cheltenham coming along. They'll be dreaming beyond Santa and the New Year.
Yeah.
They'll be dreaming for that middle of March, won't they?
They will. Almost. What is it, 5 months till the
Cheltenham Festival? Don't even think about it. Don't do it to me.
6 months till the Grand National, what we're saying.
Fabulous. Counting down, yeah. And there's a little bit of water to go under the bridge before then.
Just a
bit. Who knows? You've got to count your chickens, whether we'll still be here in that amount of time. You know what I mean?
Well, hopefully so. I hope so, anyway.
Listen, don't rely on it.
Oh, that's kind of a sobering note.
Let's move on.
Let's move on to the racing.
We were getting so happy, weren't we?
So you were building up the flames of the jump season.
Yeah, it was all... But then
you might be dead.
Then I saw Lee the Knife Bar go by. And I thought, oh my goodness gracious. Right. The daggers are out.
Yeah.
I mean, he shouldn't be allowed with a knife, that lad.
He shouldn't.
No.
He shouldn't. Let's move on to the Racing Post Trophy. Bit of an interesting development in the Racing Post Trophy. There was a big move for Yucatan on Wednesday. Then market leader Capri was on the slide. They finished 1 and 2 in the Beresford at the Curra, with Yucatan finishing second to Capri. The decks come out on Thursday morning and there's no sign of Capri, and Yucatan is the 4-5 favourite left in the race.
Yeah, I think definitely a wheel's fallen off the Capri, don't you?
Hey.
Goodness gracious me.
Well, how many of them are going to get?
Oh, you'll get loads of them today, don't you worry about that. I used to have a Capri, you know.
Did you?
Yeah, beautiful thing it was. Yeah, orange.
Orange.
Absolutely disgusting. I thought it was wow at the time.
Yeah.
And then I upgraded to a metallic blue one with silver go faster stripes on.
Oh, really?
So I have fond memories of a Capri. But again, yeah, I think the little word must have been out when Capri went ooh.
Yeah.
And the other fella came ooh. So yeah. Interest in that. But again, Yucatan. To be fair, Aidan didn't actually say Capri was a definite, did he?
No, he didn't. No.
But by the same token, he didn't say there's a doubt either.
Well, when he started suggesting that Ryan Moore was going to ride Yucatan, well, possibly going to ride Yucatan, and he's improved a lot from his run, then I'm guessing people put two and two together and thought, hang on a second,
yeah.
Yucatan is the one here.
That's right. jumped on the bandwagon, so to speak. But, I mean, he's an interesting sort, this son of Galileo, obviously.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, is there any other sires?
I don't think there are.
I think the boys in blue think there's a horse called Dabawi, but how that compares, I don't know. But he carries the colours of the Niarchos family, those fantastic familiar colours of the blue and white, so we're looking forward to them. He's got a big white blaze, this horse. And hopefully we'll see that big white blaze coming to the fore on Town Moor on Saturday. Aidan, oh, blimey, he's 8 million plus prize money in the UK this year. 28 winners from 130 runners. It's just unbelievable.
Isn't it?
Oh, it's just unbelievable. Will he ever see the likes of it again? Who knows? But only Aidan Rowe Bryan can do it. But again, not being content to bring Yucatan over and be well supported. You know, you wouldn't leave out his other two, Finn McCool or even the Anvil, because the Anvil's been playing his trade at a good level. He's often got hammered, but to be fair, you know, he will bounce back at some date, and he's definitely a player for me, the Anvil, to be perfectly honest. I think he's, again, an each-way shot, that is for sure, because, as I say, he's nothing but tough and consistent, and there could be a little bit more to come from him. As we saw in the Dewhurst, you know, was it maybe the third string, was it, that finished second in the Dewhurst to Churchill? So you can't leave him out, whatever. I suppose, of the others, Sir Dancelot's been plying his trade in good stuff of late and been going the right way. And Rivet, who, for me, ran a bit too keen, a little bit free early doors in the Dewhurst. Obviously, Aidan knows what he's got to provide to beat Rivet again. But I think if Rivet can just settle a little bit better, he could well be a little bit more competitive than he was when he was behind Churchill at Newmarket last time out. So I think Rivet, to be fair, if he settles, could be the main danger to the favourite. But Yucatan, who are we to take on the all-conquering?
Yucatan 4-5, 5-1 Rivet. Sir Dancelot is 15-2, 10-1 for Salouen. Contraposto 14s with the Anvil, 18s Raheen House, 25s or bigger for the others. That's how we bet for the Racing Boss Trophy at the moment.
Each way, for me, my big stakes, the Anvil.
The Anvil, okay. Aidan O'Brien's won this race with some nice horses in the past as well, hasn't he? Kings Barnes, Camelot, St Nicholas Abbey, all of those won this in the past. Interesting.
Not a bad roll of honour, that is it?
No, it's not too bad, is it? Not at all. Anything else in your mind, Pimmy?
Just obviously bitterly disappointed reading today the death of Mark Birch.
Yes,
I mean, to be fair, we knew that was imminent. He was very, very poorly. I did see him at York in the August meeting, had a quick chat with him, and he looked very frail then, to be fair. And obviously to Ted Carter, who died again earlier this week. He was a Moulton-based trainer. Actually was fortunate enough to ride a few winners for him in the 80s. But again, Ted's been very poorly for a long time as well. So they'll be sadly missed, but to anybody who was in the know, neither have come as a big surprise, but more than likely a release for everybody who's close to them.
Yeah, thoughts with friends and family, of course. Let's move on to Friday's action. Now then, we've got good racing to come at Cheltenham and Doncaster, of course. Pimmy's previewed two races at each of those venues for us, and we'll get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, Pimmy, on to Thursday's action. The 2:45 at Cheltenham is where we start. Previewing Cheltenham again, Pimmy.
Already come round to us, hasn't it? Fabulous, darling.
Class 2 novices chase over 2 miles. We've got 8 of them to go to the post here, Pimmy. We start with Maracuja for Paul Nichols. Nick Schofield in the saddle there was placed in a grade 2 over hurdles as a novice hurdler. Straight over fences now, novice chasing, which is interesting, and made a winning chase debut as well at Newton Abbot not so long ago.
Right, well, he didn't make a winning chase debut. He absolutely annihilated old Ballybooley, who's up the form with a hard-fought victory at Wetherby last week. But this fella raced with enthusiasm. He jumped beautifully. You know, he was never going to get beat. And again, there's no reason why he can't go and do that again tomorrow afternoon. Obviously, opposition's much stronger than what he was on his debut at Newton Abbot. But to be fair, he looks like a chaser in the making. He's only a 5-year-old. that experience will have done him the world of good. And I'm sure to say he'll be a real hot order tomorrow afternoon for that 2:45. Of the others, there's some interesting newcomers, as you can imagine. Aristo de Plessis, he's interesting from the James Ewart yard. Richard Johnson doing the steering on that fella. And again, he ran in a handicap last time out at Musselwhite when he was 6 of 11. But prior to that, he'd been in absolutely rampant form for the most of last season. And the other one that's interesting is Never Rush an Acorn, is it? Never Rush an Acorn?
Never Rush a Con.
Never Rush a Con.
Yeah.
Hey, you knew that one, didn't you? Hey,
you got a planet. You never rush a con.
I thought you'd know the answer to that. No two ways about it.
Don't know what you're talking about.
And yes, Rodney Del Boy. Yep. Jessie Harrington's doubly represented with Never Rush a Con and also Gambling Girl. She won this race last year with Rock the World. Barry Geraghty was doing the steering on that occasion. He takes the mount on Gambling Girl this year, who again more than likely has a little bit to find, as to as Never Even Rush a Con, easy for me to say, who was just a short head behind Riddistan at Gowran the last time we saw him. So he could be an interesting player, Never Rush a Con, but really and truly I think it's Maracujas to lose, not to win.
Okay, Maracuja then for Pimmy in the 2:45 at Cheltenham. Moving on to the 3:20 at Cheltenham next. This is a Class 3 handicap hurdle. It's over 2 miles and 5 furlongs. We've got a field of, well, it's just the 17 of them to pick from here, Pimmy. Nice, easy puzzle for you to solve.
Yeah, complete and utter idiot you are at times. I do worry about you when you bring me some scenario such as this. And again, it's a race where lots of the horses are either coming off the back of a break having won, or coming after a short break having won as well. So you've plenty of really informed horses here. Nicky Henderson's represented by My Wigwam Are Yours. We haven't seen him for 674 days. You'd expect him to need the run. But Ballyanoa won just 25 days ago. And Henderson horses, not having that many runners, but what he has had running, have been doing very well indeed, as you would imagine. And certainly, I think Ballinor is an interesting player. He beat John O'Gold last time out when they met at Newton Abbot over 2.6, 2.5 and a bit tomorrow. Trip will be ideal for Ballinor. And then you look elsewhere and you think, who's in form? Dan Skelton's in great form. He's got Robin O'Loxley. You'd have thought Robin Hood would have been riding him, wouldn't you? But there we go. He could be a player after 200 days on the sidelines. You've also got Lord Wishes, the Northern Challenger, who won at Wetherby there just over 10 days ago. A real good performance, I thought, when beating Pair of Jacks on that occasion. So he's definitely a player. And also you've got Arctic Gold, who was a winner last time out. We haven't seen him for 204 days. Tom Humphreys, don't know too much about the pilot, but he claims £10. So that means he's attached to the Twist and Davies stable. And that's given this horse a massive pull. Obviously, he's not claiming £10 for a reason, if you understand.
Yeah.
But by the same token, £10 in a contest such tightly knit as this could be a massive big help for him. And also, from the very much informed Charlie Longston yard, you've got Midnight Song, who was a winner at Fontwell last time out. So it is a tricky conundrum. Where do I take you? I'm going to take you with a couple each way, I think. Arctic Gold and Ballinure.
Okay, a couple against Field and Arctic Gold and Ballinure. Just looking at Tom Humphreys, on this record that I've got in front of me, he's got a 100% career strike rate. He's had one ride and
one winner.
Yeah.
Right, well, that's maybe not going to be a good idea to follow Tom. Because that's not in the real world does that happen, Tom. But anyway, enjoy your ride and you're in a good yard, so that's all good.
Mm. A couple against Field then for Pimmy there in the 3:20 at Cheltenham. Moving over to Doncaster for the 3:45 next. And this is a Class 2 handicap over 6 furlongs. And we've got 22 of them yeah, for this one, Pimmy. You thought the last race was hard. Here's a real challenge.
Oh, God, blimey. What a challenge it is as well. 6 furlongs. I don't think the draw will be an issue. I can imagine them coming up the centre of the track like in a spearhead. I think the forecast is pretty solid for the next 24 hours, 48 hours. So hopefully the ground will be just about perfect, maybe on the easy side of good at Donny's come Friday and Saturday. And where do you want to start here? You've got C-Note, who's interesting. £6 penalty for that success last time out. Ryan Moore taking the mount. Obviously, he's going to be very, very popular. You've got New Bidder, who came good last time out. That was at the Curragh for David Barron and Graham Gibbons. He'd been in the wilderness a little bit before that, but he came good at the Curragh last time. You've got Dugan for those shrewdies, the Shropshire Wolves. And they've been sucked in. They've been tempted. A ponytail aboard. Josephine Gordon, she's very much vogue at the moment, isn't she? Mm. Riding plenty of success. I think she had a winner for the Boys in Blue just the other day. So she's definitely in demand, the young lady. And obviously she's the champion apprentice for 2016. And Dugan ran well enough, I thought, in defeat to give him a little bit of a chance. And also, I thought Sheridan is another interesting player. £6 penalty for that one for winning last time out, but from the Michael Dodgeyard could well be one with a bit of a chance. But it's a 22-runner handicap over 6 furlongs. You pays your money, you takes your chance.
What will you take a chance on the Premier? We'll let you have a couple against Field.
You're so kind. Yeah. So kind. I'm going to go new bidder,
yeah.
Ocean Sheridan.
All right. On to the final race. We look at the 4.55 at Doncaster. This is a Class 3 handicap over a mile and a quarter. This one is exclusively for the three-year-olds. We've got 9 of them to go to post here, Pimmy. Some pretty nice three-year-olds in there. None more so than Al Neksh.
Yeah, this is a real nice race. Not a bad off prize on offer. She's just short of 13 grand as well. Al Neksh has done absolutely nothing wrong in his little short career. Won very nicely at Yarmouth last time out, beating Great Hall. I think that form stands pretty solid. And he's definitely a big player from a yard that's very much in form, that of William Haggis. G.K. Chesterton, again, did he write a book on fly fishing? Or was that J.H. Hartley?
I'm not the biggest fly fisher. I'm not sure.
No. Well, anyway, G.K. Chesterton, whoever he might be, ran okay after an absence when finishing 5th behind Saunter at Newmarket last time out. So you definitely give him a little bit of a chance to improve after that absence. And we've just seen 34 days since that Newmarket debut this year. So he could be one that reaps the rewards of that debut run. Rainbow Rebel's been nothing but tough and consistent throughout the season, but whether he's in the grips of the handicapper now remains to be seen. Bagulis is interesting, the Alan King runner. He ran well enough in defeat behind Alderstore at Nottingham last time out. And you've got Archipos, winner of a Hamilton Maiden last time out. He beat Jarez on that occasion. Needs to up his game, but there might be a little bit more to come from him. And obviously go to the very top weight, the mount of Ryan Moore, trained by John Quinn, who was in great form at the weekend, had a treble at Catterick, took his tally for 50 winners for the year. Speed Company might just find life a little bit easier against this opposition tomorrow, because it is dropping down a little bit in grade. Slow to go last time out. A little bit sharper start. Could see Speed Company being a player as well. So, again, only 9 of them going to post. Very competitive. I'm going to take the top two against the field, if I may. Okay. Speed Company, Al Neksh.
Couple against field then for Pimmy there in the 4.55. While you were talking there, Pimmy, I've been doing a little bit of research.
Oh, yes, and?
Who G.K. Chesterton is.
Go on then, tell me.
He was an English writer, poet, philosopher, dramatist, journalist, orator, lay theologian, biographer and literary and art critic.
Blimey neck, he wasn't...
He was busy, wasn't he?
He was a busy lad, I was going to say. What about jobs for the other boys? God blimey. And he was that... He had that many jobs and he was that good. Yeah. We didn't even know he was.
No, exactly.
You know what I mean?
He was often referred to as the Prince of Paradox. And I've got some quotes for you here, Pimmy.
Oh, lovely. Let's hear them. GK.
Yeah. An adventure is only an inconvenience rightly considered. An inconvenience is only an adventure wrongly considered.
Yes. My thoughts entirely.
Yeah.
My thoughts entirely.
And fallacies do not cease to be fallacies because they become fashions.
Yeah, I can understand where he's coming from with that, can't you?
Can.
Like beards and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody wants one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Happy days. Well, we've cleared that up. And yeah, hopefully that'll be a little bit of an education for the listener as well.
Hopefully so, yeah.
G.K. Chesterton.
You learn something new on
the
podcast.
Man of many talents. Yeah.
But we didn't know them.
He could get a job at William Hill, you know.
Yeah, well,
with that CV.
He might have been able to a while ago.
Yeah, maybe not now.
Yeah, no. 1936, before then he might have been able to.
1936, was that when he was born?
No, that's when he passed away.
Oh, right, okay. Oh, I never saw any of this. Never saw the war then, oh dear. Yeah. No. Oh, never mind. Well, anyway, it's good to know that. And I shall, next time I'm at a dinner party, I'll definitely bring that up.
good stuff. Let's bring up your selections for a final time, Pimmy. Let's get those final selections nailed down then for Friday.
Yeah, in the 2.45 at Cheltenham with the very much informal yard of Paul Nichols, I'm going to go for Maracuja. And then we head to the very competitive 3.20 at Cheltenham, and I'm going to take two against the field there in the shape of Arctic Gold and Ballinure. Move on to the flat, where, as we say, the embers are just starting to burn red on the flat racing season. The curtain is slowly coming down. And in the 3:45, two against the field in the shape of New Bidder and Ocean Sheridan. And in the 4:55 at Donny, it's the three-year-olds only handicap, two against the field, Speed Company and Al Nesk.
Superb, Pimmy. It's been a pleasure. Good luck and enjoy it on Friday.
And my best wishes to G.K. Chesterton.
There you go, the thoughts of Chris Pimlott then. On Friday's racing, you'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:10pm. Luke Elder, Paddy Aspel and Ollie Pimlott, the team in the studio. Real good days to look forward to as well. Day one of the Racing Post Trophy meeting at Doncaster. Good racing at Newbury. Day one of the season at Cheltenham with the first day of the showcase meeting. And then the evening action on the all-weather surfaces at Wolverhampton and Dundalk, respectively. Plenty to get stuck into. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Friday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.